Well, hello, and welcome to the Garden Conversation again. And before we get to this day's topic and question, I want to announce that we have come up with the date for Sandra Katz's workshop. And for those of you who don't know who Sandra Katz is, he is the, I call him the fermentation guru, meaning he knows more about fermentation than just about anybody else. He's written a lot of the books, Wild Fermentation and whatnot. He's coming to Haines, and he's going to be here July 14th, and the workshop will be noon till, or roughly noon to 3 o'clock on that day. So save the date. We have a fermenter here today, but we're not going to talk about fermentation. We're going to talk about Leah's other specialty. Leah Wagner is here today. And one of the questions that we got sent into us was, I see that there are many seed companies out there, and I'm told that I should be choosy about my seed companies. I don't know anything about that. Could you please tell me about it? And so I called in Leah because she not only knows about it, she actually has her own seed company. And so I want to know, I guess, what we need to know about that. And Leah, why did you decide to do your own seed company?
Well, for those of you who don't know, my company's name is Foundroot, and we moved to Haines about 3 years ago. We're 6 years old now, and we moved from South Central Alaska, and there was a huge hole in the vegetable seed market. There was actually no companies in Alaska growing their own seed, and so we moved to Haines with the express purpose of starting to grow Alaska-grown seed. We only sell open pollinated seeds, what that means is that you can collect the seeds from everything that we sell. And so a huge part of our purpose in as a vegetable seed company is to teach our customers how to save their own seeds. In the last 100 years, we've lost about 96% of the diversity in our seed supply, which means that all those cold, hardy, super tough tomatoes that used to grow great here in Haines, Alaska, they actually don't even exist anymore.
And why is that? Why have we lost it?
Well, there's been a pretty steady corporate takeover due to a lot of different legal processes that have happened over the last 100 years or so, 150.
And companies are going to do the easiest, slickest. They're not going to put the extra work into getting diversity and whatnot.
They're going to do what's most popular and what grows best specifically for large-scale agriculture. And so there is some different stuff offered for the home gardener market, but not necessarily the Alaska home gardener market.
Right.
So yeah, everything that we sell has been proven for Alaska. Mm-hmm. And so right now we're working on a lot of mold tolerant, very water tolerant varieties, but everything's pretty cold tolerant. It's short season, fast growing. You can handle those cool night temperatures.
And I would guess that you are in the process, if you came from South Central, you're in the process of shifting to a different South Central has different needs than Southeast Alaska.
Well, we kind of keep all our rules for South Central, which means that nothing we sell over 90 days can't handle a hard frost. So we have most of the things are under 90-day season, unless they can handle that frost. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They're incredibly fast growing. They're going to be the earliest. They're going to be able to handle cooler summers, long sunny days. Mm-hmm. And then, right
what
now
we're... sun?
There will be sun eventually. But yeah, it's all stuff that works for our region and our climate. And so part of in growing our own seed is that we're creating bioregional adaptability. So the seeds that we grow here will only be that much better for our climate and for our gardens.
So that's seeds for here in Alaska. But when I also see some smaller companies that are not like the, I don't know, what are the big name, Burpees or some of the big, huge companies. But I also see some smaller companies, like there's one in Bellingham, I think, that's called Uprising. Mm-hmm. And there's a few different ones. Are they doing the same thing as you, or what are these smaller seed companies? What are they about?
Yeah, Uprising's an amazing example. They're a huge model for us, and that's what we strive to be. And so they're actually a semi-cooperative of a bunch of different farms in a similar growing climate region. Mm-hmm. And so they're a great company to look towards for open pollinated seeds. They only sell open pollinated seeds, and they're certified organic. Something like Burpees, you're going to have to look through. You're going to see hybrid seeds in there, which mm-hmm. means that two kind of limited genetic lines have been spliced together to create a superior seed. So a lot of things are really difficult for us to grow in Alaska, such as spinach, something that can handle the cold but hates our light. You wouldn't mm-hmm. expect that to be difficult, but it is. And so a lot of people in Alaska will still be growing hybrid spinach mm-hmm. to make sure that they're able to get that. The only problem with that is that you can't collect the seeds from
that. Can't save them.
So mm-hmm. if you find a spinach that you love and they decide that they don't want to sell it anymore, you will never be able to grow that spinach again. Mm-hmm. Whereas if you were growing that out, saving your own seed, you would forever have that amazing spinach that works with our daylight. Mm-hmm.
But there is some advantages. Like you said, if you find a spinach that you really like, a classic example for me is that I have a cabbage, a keeper cabbage that I have grown for years, and it's a hybrid. And I know that if I get mine from Johnny's, and if Johnny's decides not to sell it, or if something happens that I don't get it, I'm out because I can't save those seeds.
So. Right. And there are certain things that are a lot more difficult for us to save seeds from than mm-hmm. others. So, you know, beginner seed savers are going to be looking for those simpler things, like with perfect flowers that aren't going to cross-pollinate. And that's
give some examples of that.
That's going to be like peas, lettuce, mm-hmm. Peppers, and tomatoes are kind of some of the most beginner mm-hmm. seed saving. They you don't have to do anything special to pollinate them. And
so you just let them go to seed, like lettuce, you just let it grow and grow and grow.
Grow and grow. And there are isolation distances and mm-hmm. there are things to prevent that cross-pollination. Right. So for home gardeners, we usually recommend just growing one type. So if you mm-hmm. just want to grow one type of lettuce this year and save that seeds and create some barriers, you know, 50 feet between you and your neighbor's garden should be enough to keep that seed mm-hmm. pure. And then, yeah, you have a potentially non-bolting lettuce that you can then grow mm-hmm. forever after.
Another way of doing that would be if you don't let any of, like I never let any of my lettuce go to seed unless I'm saving the seed. If I just keep one type of lettuce that goes to seed, it doesn't mean that you can't have any other lettuce in your garden, but it's as long as it's not in seed or not going to seed. Am
as
I right with that?
As long as you do your due diligence like Mardell does, then yes.
Right. You cannot be irresponsible and yeah. let other seed. And that's one of the problem with people oftentimes save kale seed here. Mm. And I'm really dubious about that because there's a lot of people that have other brassica seeds, like people let their broccoli go to seed. And if you have broccoli and kale at the same time, haven't you destroyed?
Yeah, Brassica oleracea is one of the largest groups, and it's a huge family of plants that we grow in Alaska. So mm-hmm. we have a lot of brassicas of that particular type. That being said, if you have a Siberian kale and a regular kale, those are actually going to be different, and they won't cross. And so there's a lot of nuance
so here,
to it. Yeah.
Yes, that's right. You can get
actually,
really complicated, yeah. and I promised Leah that we would not get into the complications of seed saving.
Yeah, I want people to feel encouraged. So, yes. yeah, the first step is to really use your purchasing power, and, you know, we are transitioning our varieties slowly to Alaska-grown seed. It is a very long process. Seed mm-hmm. is a long game in food security for sure. Mm-hmm. But if you want to support us, we are actually going to be at Ampersand doing a pop-up shop this first Friday. Mm-hmm. And then we'll also be at the plant sale. And so we'll have some plant starts of some of our more exciting things. And then
plant starts as well as just the seeds.
Some, mm-hmm. yeah. We're just getting back into it. We used to do a lot of that, but we've been building. We've been building mm-hmm. our home and our farm and just getting started here in Haines. So yeah, we're moving back into a lot of the events and plant mm-hmm. starts and other things. We'll be selling produce this year too. So mm-hmm. just getting going again. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you guys can find us there. You can also find us on our website.
So if somebody wants some seeds from you and they're not going to be able to go to either one of those events, can they call you or do you have a website?
How yeah,
can they
we have an amazing online store.
You
People
do.
Have
okay.
Told us that they really enjoy it. It's okay. pretty user-friendly. It's a www.foundroot.com.
Okay.
And when you check out, you just choose Pickup in Haines. And then if you're doing a pickup, we just ask that you email us, let us know where to meet you. And we work from home and we're self-employed. Mm-hmm. for most of the year, so we're pretty available to meet up with folks, especially if they're living out the road and aren't in town all the time. And At that point, you can either pay online or you can do a cash or check on pickup. Mm-hmm. So try to make it friendly for Hanes folks.
So it's available. And if things happen, like I was just telling Leah that, none of my Savoy cabbage seeds germinated this year. And she said, well, I happen to have some Savoy cabbage. So, which I didn't know that Savoy, I actually, if you would have asked me, I would have said Savoy is a hybrid, but I'm wrong.
No, we have excellent Savoy cabbage. Anyone who bought one of our sauerkraut kits last year got
that
Savoy.
That was Savoy.
Yeah, it was Savoy and an early Jersey Wakefield. Ours was massive. In the rainy, rainy summer we had, we had excellent cabbage.
Last summer was good for brassicas.
So those are ways to find us. And yeah, just if you're shopping in general, you can look for other companies like ours. We have a pretty limited selection. We really keep
you're
it
building
to the
it up. Yeah, at this point.
And also we just keep it to the basics. We're not going to sell anything that isn't proven. And so we have one eggplant and we have one cantaloupe and we have two peppers and we keep it pretty tight. If we don't feel like it'll grow in the majority of Alaska, then we're not going to sell it. And there's some things that require more attention. But yeah, if you're looking for something else, a company like Uprising, we love companies in the Pacific Northwest and the Northeast because we think that they really
they're similar
do well.
To our.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that is one of the advantages for as a beginning gardener. If you go into, say Fred Meyer's or something like that, or Home Depot, and you look at their seed collection. And I was in one of those stores a little while ago, and I would say almost at least 60%, maybe even 70% of the seeds that are in there, they're not going to grow here worth anything. And I know that because I've got experience. But for people who don't have the experience in Alaska or don't have experience growing, there's a real advantage of growing something that's already been tried and proven in Alaska. And so I would say that to you beginning gardeners who don't really know what's going to grow here, that these seeds have already been vetted, if you want to call it.
we are a one-stop shop for new Alaskan gardeners.
But that being said, you're still not going to get everything that you want by going there if you're looking for...
For instance, we don't sell anything that's not edible right now. So if you're looking for cut flowers, that's not going to be in our shop. So yeah, you definitely look further afield. And if you want to support the open pollinated seed movement and that food security. Look for OP when you're shopping. If you want to avoid hybrids or if you're okay with hybrids, just knowing what you're buying is always important. It'll usually say hybrid or F1 or F2 are the kind of terms that they use in a seed catalog. And it's really unlikely that you're going to see any GMOs in the home gardener market. That's not real. It's not a concern. So unless you're buying massive bags of corn seed to grow in Haines, Alaska, it's really not a concern you have to worry about.
Really? Okay. In the seeds.
In the seeds are not going to be
GMO.
Yeah. Sometimes they have pelleted seeds or treated seeds, which means there's types of fertilizer on it. And so if you want to be organic, you'd want to avoid that. But yeah, we only sell open pollinated seeds. And for folks who don't know, all heirloom seeds are going to be open pollinated, but there are new breeds of open pollinated seeds. So if you're looking for heirlooms...
What does that mean? There's new breeds of open pollinated?
It means that they're still doing breeding. And so heirlooms are things that have a story to them. Some people say they have to be at least 150 years old. Mm-hmm. They're long proven seeds. And so there's new ones coming out, but all those heirloom seeds are going to be open pollinated for sure.
Meaning that you can save the seeds, that they're not a hybrid, but there's new ones now.
Yeah, being developed. And that's part of why they're so old is that farmers have been saving those seeds for a long time and proven them over and over again.
And used them year after year and shared them with their neighbors.
Exactly.
And there is a real advantage. I've been part of that a little bit of just sharing seeds with your neighbors. And it makes me happy when I can do that.
Yeah, and that's what our seed swaps will hopefully be soon, is us just sharing the seeds that we've actually grown ourselves. So,
and it's not an easy thing to do. I have struggled with it because you do have to think about it. You cannot decide that you're going to save your seeds in August or September. You have to plan for it a little bit. I guess it depends. You might be lucky to have a situation where you could save your seed. But in general, you need to kind of plan for it. You got to make sure that you don't plant, if you're going to plant two different kinds of beans, you can't save the seeds if the beans are planted close to each other. And so I would encourage you that if you are interested in this, there's lots of books. Leah is a vast wealth of information, and she loves talking about it and sharing. So I would say talk about it more in depth. We're not going to do that on the well, at least not now. We're not going to do it.
Not
maybe
today,
maybe in the middle of the winter we will have some seed saving garden conversations.
Yeah, and we'll could do a workshop.
Yeah, and talk about what really we need to know about it. But I wanted to basically answer the question that somebody sent in, and I think we did it.
Yeah. And come chat with us. We'll be again at Ampersand on Friday, and we'll be at the plant sale. So
great. All right. Well, thank you very much, Leah, and happy gardening if it ever warms up.